Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Modo Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them, while everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Modo Casino, the only app worth your time.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
"I found Nirvana! I win!"
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $365 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning. And as we do every Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com. PK, good morning. How you doing?
I'm well. I'm ready for Joe's favorite guest spot of the week.
I'm ready for Joe's favorite guest spot of the week, too. Looking forward to this one today here on the program. Paul, we were discussing Treylon Burks earlier, obviously, and we've talked with you before about how important he's going to be for this team this year. But what did you make of his press conference yesterday, the fact that he's been here all offseason and he's working through staying here in the summer and the heat in Nashville and all those things, and what his approach could mean for him on the field by the time training camp rolls around?
Look, it's encouraging what he said, for sure. But, I mean, everything everybody says in May is encouraging. I got to offer that caveat all the time. He stayed around to run in the heat. It hasn't been hot until last week, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, the intent is good. But the weather hasn't cooperated. I think, you know, being in the Nashville air, I've got some people with bad allergies in my family. It's not the same as the asthma he has, but I know they've had troubles with the air through the spring and the fall. And so I think that's been helpful for him, probably. But he's got a long way to prove. I know there's, you know, I've seen an idiot on Twitter saying, you know, Treylon Burks healthy is the same as A.J. Brown. I mean, this is prayerful thinking at this stage. And again, the Titans are a toe or a hamstring or a groin to Treylon Burks away from having, you know, an all-time bad. They already have an all-time bad wide receiving core, and if they were to lose Treylon Burks for any amount of time or anything, they'd be just absolutely doomed.
Who's the idiot? Hello? Who's the idiot?
Sorry?
Who... Who is the idiot on Twitter who said that?
Oh, I think I know, but I don't want to give any wind to the idiot on Twitter.
Did Jared say this? I heard Jared on his show.
No. Okay. Even dumber than Jared. It's hard to believe.
Just laying the groundwork. Okay, yeah, I've heard some bizarre things along those lines. But on the conditioning front, PK, I think Burks was the best, you know, like you said, encouraging May comment for Titans fans yesterday. But I was definitely struck by all the new guys talking about the conditioning. I mean, I don't even remember if it was really prompted, but obviously all those guys are not used to the level of conditioning that they're engaging in right now. Do you think that yesterday we needed Vrabel after them, you know, to ask the obvious follow-up, which is okay, so is this an adjustment? Do you think it is? It seems like it.
Well, the feeling I got after doing a little investigation about that was that it's, about the intensity from year to year and all of that. You know, is this three new guys and a guy who wasn't here for the whole thing last year as a rookie, shocked by what you do every year, or is it different than what you've done? I kind of got the feeling that there's no difference. It's just different than they've done it in the past, which is an interesting way to think about it. But I did think Brunskill was particularly interesting, you know, talking about some teams kind of, you know, take it easy. I don't know if he said that, but, you know, make sure you're in shape, but don't push it for worry of injuries, whereas other teams go super hard, like the Titans are going super hard to get that callus. I have no objection to what the Titans are doing. It seems smart for a team that plays the style they play to be hyper-conditioned. But I think, you know, they've opened themselves up to super hyper-consideration about injuries, and I think you can wonder, you know, does conditioning to this level at this stage of the year lay any groundwork for injuries later? I think the door is open to ask that question about virtually everything they do.
PK, what were your impressions of being around Will Levis for really kind of the first time over the weekend at rookie minicamp?
Yeah, look, rookie minicamp means absolutely nothing. He rolls out on Friday and makes a spectacular throw that's, you know, then all over video. And then our friend over at the other station puts up a thing like, "Hey, Levis haters, has your opinion changed about Will Levis from this one throw?" You know, I mean, of course he's going to make some good throws. You know, we got to condition ourselves not to – can't change your opinion on Will Levis from a rookie minicamp against a defense that includes zero draft picks. You know, and, you know, I wrote about it. I don't know what Joe wrote about, but – well, I know Joe doesn't really write anything off of that stuff. It's just some notes. But I mean, you know, he made a great throw to Wiley, the tight end. We asked him about it. It ended the open practice on Saturday. And you know, it looked terrific. And Levis talked about it, and Wiley talked about it. And Vrabel said, "Hey, you can't throw into a meeting room like that. And when the veterans are out there, that's probably not a good decision." You know, which I thought was kind of a perfect encapsulation of what a rookie minicamp is about and the way we need to frame thinking about it. So I understand people, you know, want to see the rookie quarterback who's highly drafted and get excited about a couple highlights and all of that. But if you don't take a breath and pull back and you know, consider the context of the whole thing, you're just setting yourself up for disappointment for when the veterans are out there and he happens to throw an interception or make a bad decision. Are you going to react on the same scale? Like if you're awarding him three MVPs based off that one throw, then are you cutting him next week when we see him and he throws a couple interceptions?
I guess I need to pay more attention to Twitter. Or I guess maybe less. I'm missing all this stuff. Someone was like, "Oh, Levis haters, have some of that." Off that video, that throw?
That was your boy, initials Buck BR.
Oh, Buck, you got to be kidding me. Okay, well, I'm going to have to go find this, and then I'll send it to him, and then we can continue ripping him our little text thread.
Like, after this weekend, Levis haters. He didn't even give the option, like, wait and see. He was like, "Levis haters. After this weekend, have you changed your mind? Are you in or are you still out?"
God.
After this weekend, after a weekend of throwing against a defense with no draft picks, have you changed your mind?
Jeez. Okay. Well,
during which, by the way, on the record, we saw him stretch and, you know, do footwork and throw to equipment.
Yeah, yeah. No, very telling stuff. So beyond that, being around him a little bit now, What do you think of him? Also, are you in a little bit better mood right now? Because I know that I came away yesterday saying, "Wow, they just added three really good talkers to the room for us." And this is what really matters.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed talking with those guys, but also I don't know if you have this. I mean, I fear or dread watching the deconstruction of those guys who will gradually be
Vrabelized?
Yeah, just sterilized, if you will, by Titans PR and Mike Vrabel and told to be boring. And I said,
it doesn't happen to everybody.
When Vrabel came in, what did he come in after the rookie minicamp? And he was like, how was that? And I said, oh, Colton Dowell was interesting. You would have hated it.
Paul Kaharsky from PaulKaharsky.com with us here on Robbie Ed Rexroad. So, PK, you know, a lot of people have, you know, made a lot of the schedule release over the last week, a couple of primetime games for the Tennessee Titans. What do you make of the way that schedule shapes up, a tough first 6 weeks, and then on paper at least, like the back part of the schedule, looks like some winnable football games for the Tennessee Titans. What'd you make of the way that all shaked out?
Well, the single biggest development on the schedule release came out yesterday, the day before, where they solidified the opening game of the preseason at Chicago, which is the afternoon after Springsteen plays Wrigley.
That's right.
So
it's a big weekend for you.
Making that trip to Chicago for a preseason game, which I never otherwise would make. Even talked to the travel sponsor and buttered him up for like, hey, we should go together to this. And he's like, hey, I've never seen Springsteen. That sounds like a good idea.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to Brymac. So, yeah, I mean, I think the schedule, you know, they've got that huge period where they're not home at all except for the Atlanta game, you know, including the home trip to London where Joe will tweet as if he's in London.
You better believe it.
And but then finish at home. Look, I, you know, nobody on the schedule, I don't look at the schedule and think automatic loss to anybody except Cincinnati. And I don't look at the schedule and think automatic win against anybody. So I think that makes for an intriguing season. I don't know really what they have. I know what they don't have. So we'll see how they overcome that. But they certainly did a good job avoiding San Francisco, Buffalo, and Kansas City by coming in second, and that's favorable for them. But some of these teams, you know, Miami could be pretty good. Baltimore might be good. Chargers might be good. But drawing the NFC South is very favorable. I don't think any of those teams are going to emerge as anything special. And the division remains crappy. So there's opportunity for them to be, I think, better than they are in terms of roster.
PK, we've talked a lot this week about Derrick Henry, of course. You got to play the hits, especially in May. But your expectation for Derrick Henry, do you think this is his last year with the Titans? And do you think that last year's production, as hard as it was to watch at times, but the, you know, the final production given the offensive line, means that there could be a significant uptick if the offensive line is significantly better?
Well, I don't know that you need an uptick. What did he have, 1,500, 1,600 yards?
Yep.
I mean, yards per carry, an uptick would be good to get him back to, like, supreme Derrick Henry. We saw him get caught from behind a couple times, so I don't know if he's going to have many 75-yard runs anymore, but you'll take 25-yard runs. Daniel Brunskill certainly is talking like, you know, as much as we've heard about the new offense, Daniel Brunskill was there to kind of redirect back to, hey, we're still a run-first team, right? I think he could still be very good. The thing is, he's going to fall off a cliff at some time, at some point. And so you just wonder when that is. We know he's otherworldly, but we saw when he suffered the Jones fracture that he is, in fact, human. But he came back from that, not that season, but the next season, and obviously was himself again. And so I do think, Joe, that we're quick to dismiss his future and think that this is his last year. If he has another solid year and they haven't really changed that much, depending too on what Spears does, if there's no market for him next year, and I think they'll be hard for him to find a market, see Ezekiel Elliott, if he'd play for cheap, you know, if he'd play for the kind of contract that they're willing to give him, I don't know that we should be so quick to say it's definitely over for him. I think it's more see what happens and then see, you know, I mean, they would have all the hand in terms of what the contract would be and the length. And I think it'd be year by year and all of that. But I think it's very possible that the best situation for Derrick Henry going forward after this year is still to be here.
PK, you delivered as always. Thanks so much for taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
Good to see you guys. Check out Mike Herndon's piece later today at paulkuharski.com. He'll give his early version of the 53.
Awesome. Very nice. Looking forward to that coming up later today on paulkuharski.com. We'll take your thoughts. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. More on the Titans coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Join 1025-1063 the game this Friday for the grand opening of the new Dunkin' in Spring Hill, located at 2098 Wall Street. You can stop by and grab some coffee and register for giveaways from 7 to 9 a.m. Looking forward to that. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 the game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Thanks to Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com for being with us in the last segment, and interesting to get his thoughts on a lot of the things that we've discussed with the Titans so far this week. But PK Saban saying maybe it's too early to count the chickens before they hatch as it relates to Derrick Henry's future here with the Tennessee Titans. It is going to be really interesting to see how Vrabel and Carthon view that, especially if he has another year that's similar to last year. How do Carthon and Vrabel view Derrick Henry and his future at the age of 30 moving forward?
I do think an open mind is just the right approach. And I think we've said it this week. We'll say it again. Much higher likelihood. I am going to put the word much on it. Higher likelihood that Derrick Henry is a Tennessee Titan in 24 than Ryan Tannehill is.
Agreed.
Now, how high? Much higher doesn't necessarily mean high, but it's to me, it's very, very close to zero on the Tannehill front.
What do you think of what PK had to say on the receiver front of the it's already an all-time bad group of receivers? Certainly if Burks goes down, that is the disaster scenario for this Titans wide receiver room. But do you agree that we're looking already at an all-time bad wide receiver room for the Tennessee Titans?
Well, I think there's plenty of years over the years where you didn't have someone with the talent of Treylon Burks in the room. So it doesn't have to be. But to that point, and I'd love to know, I can't believe, I got to find this tweet about, what do you think now, haters? Look at this one practice throw.
In shorts.
Yeah, but but it's something I did hear, and I was almost slapped in the face with it yesterday while driving, was Jared saying, and he's kind of done this, oh, he could still be as good as A.J. Brown. He's as good as – he's as talented. He said, I want to make sure I have this right. I think I have this right, that Treylon Burks – or A.J. Brown is more explosive than Treylon Burks.
Okay.
But Treylon Burks is more dynamic than A.J. Brown.
What does that mean?
Huh? What?
What does that mean?
Like, please explain that.
I don't know.
He's more explosive, but this guy's more dynamic. Is he like a superhero? Does he have X-ray vision? Like, what does that mean? He's not as good as A.J. Brown. Now, I'm not going to rule anything out as a possibility. But I'll be surprised if his career is as good as A.J. Brown's. A.J. Brown is an elite receiver. It's very hard to find. There's a lot of first round receivers, a lot of good receivers, a lot of number one receivers. A.J. Brown is a higher cut than that. I don't know why that's hard to understand.
I agree.
Hey, I'm keeping an open mind on Treylon Burks.
Me too. I agree with everything you just said. I will say this, because we've talked about injuries today. Like, on the offensive side of the ball, obviously, well, maybe it's not obvious now with who you just drafted at quarterback, but I think most people would agree, like, the most important player to remain healthy this year for the Titans on the offensive side of the ball would be the quarterback in Ryan Tannehill. That's usually how it works, and that still would probably be my answer. Is Treylon Burks number two? Like, if Burks, I mean, to his point, if Burks gets hurt, this room at wide receiver is a disaster. And look, we'll see what Kyle Phillips brings to the table, and we know that NWI can at least play, and Chris Moore has been brought in, and I get all that. But I think I would put Treylon Burks at number two as the most important person to stay healthy. And I could listen to an argument for number one because they just drafted Will Levis.
Yeah, well, that is true. Man, so basically headline, Robbie Stanley says no drop off from Tannehill to Will Levis.
Yes.
Let's tweet that one out.
Thank you very much.
No, but it's a fair point. They have they're pretty strong at backup quarterback now, I think. I mean, I think they will be. So, yeah, certainly it's two. We saw when Derrick Henry got hurt, they were able to find guys to do fine, to do pretty well. And they did just draft Spears. They have Haskins around. So, I think you're right. But they can't lose Burks.
No. Dennis on the text line says, PK says it's way too early to judge Levis. And then a minute later says, this is an all-time worst receiving group for the Titans. I hear what you're saying, Dennis. There is, at least with the Titans receiving group, like there are some people that we have seen before. Like we know what NWI is. We know essentially what Chris Moore is. Now, your boy Racing McMath, we'll see what happens at training camp this year. I don't know that we know what Kyle Phillips is, but we know that at least he was doing some good things before he got hurt last year. And we don't know exactly what Treylon Burks is yet, but we at least have an idea about the receiving room and have seen most of these guys actually play football before.
Yep, Burks and Phillips have to be, both of them, not just Burks. Burks, of course, is number one easily. But I think Phillips, the way that they've gone about things, it to me points to Kyle Phillips has to be a key here.
Yep.
He has to. They have to be counting on that and believing it's going to happen. Because NWI can go out there and he can be fine. And I don't know about McMath. I still think there's some potential there. I mean, Vrabel laid it out there. And I asked him about him on draft night or the third day of the draft. Like, this is like an NFL. Are you staying in the NFL long term? This is
– got to prove it.
And, again, he did make big strides. I know Kaharski can say, oh, yeah, he had one practice. That's not accurate. He was making strides and he got hurt. We'll see. I'm not ruling it out.
I'm asking you because I heard Jared talk about this last week, and honestly, I don't remember from the discussion last year how many of the big plays that Racy McMath made in training camp came against Caleb Farley.
Yeah, definitely a couple of them. There was one day in particular where Farley got torched by him, but he also made a couple big plays in the preseason game, didn't he?
Yep, he did.
That wasn't Caleb Farley, as far as I know. Although maybe Farley accidentally put on the other team's uniform. That is possible.
Coming up next, it's time for The Choice is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rex Road in the questions chair today. So looking forward to that. Make sure you check out Nashville's best deal of the week. It's for Bavarian Beer House at Opry Mills. Bavarian Beer House, Nashville's only authentic German beer hall, is a place full of fun, food, music, and most importantly, beer. You can enjoy traditional German bratwurst, schnitzel, giant pretzels, and more. All you have to do is go to thegamenashville.com/deals. to get a $50 gift card for $25 to Bavarian Beer House while supplies last. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 1063, The Game.
This, we all have choices to make. This, like right now. It's The Choice is Yours, built by Jared Companies. You have a choice, so when you have a need for site and utility work, fire protection, concrete and asphalt services, the choice is simple. It's Jared Companies. For more, visit JaredCompaniesInc.com. The choice is yours, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is time for The Choice is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by Jared Companies, your one-stop shop for site and utility work, fire protection, paving, and concrete needs. Get your free estimate at JaredCompaniesInc.com. Joe Rexroad in the questions chair today. Joe Rexroad, I turn it over to you.
Sports or non-sports?
Non-sports.
There you go.
You just say non-sports?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Did Robbie say sports?
Non was like, it was very high, so I just want to make sure.
My voice cracked.
All right, non-sports. Well, in light of Guardians of the Galaxy 3 continuing to hit with a second sequel, very hard to do for movie franchises. One is hard enough. The movie franchise sequel could be 2, 3, 4, whatever, that you wish never got made.
That never got made. You go ahead. I need to think about this.
Yeah, me too.
It's an easy one for me. Godfather 3. Godfather 1 and 2, arguably the best two movies ever made. Godfather 2, I think, might be the best movie ever made. It's certainly the best sequel ever made. There's no question about that. And those two movies telling a story of the Mario Puzo novel, pretty much perfection. Godfather 3 was a pretty good movie, I guess. But, man, did it smear the whole thing. Just get it, wipe it from the face of the earth, and let's just keep it to 1 and 2.
There's a couple that come to mind to me. Number one, most people probably don't even know this exists, but Slapshot 2.
Oh, my God. I didn't know.
It's got Stephen Baldwin as the main character in it.
What?
It is atrocious.
Oh.
I mean, Slapshot, as we know. Oh, great movie. One of the all-time great sports movies.
I won't ask you, but it's amazing. Let me tell you.
Slapshot 2 with Stephen Baldwin as the main character.
What?
It is pretty bad. And I will say, too, less egregious than that one, but the Hangover movies, Hangover 1 was really good.
Yep.
Hangover 2 is all right. Like, I enjoyed it somewhat. Hangover 3 might be the worst movie of all time. It's really bad.
It was unnecessary, yeah, for sure.
So my two answers, Slapshot 2 and then Hangover 3.
Yeah, those are good. My mind immediately goes to Sandlot. I don't even know if people know that there's a third one.
I heard about this. I haven't seen it.
But it's really bad. It's really bad. The first one is, I mean, phenomenal. Who doesn't love that movie? The second
great
one
movie.
Is okay.
I've never even seen that. I didn't even know there were any sequels.
I didn't know there was a second one.
So, yeah, they're just, I mean, they're like a cornier, more modern version of it. The first one, it's gold. It's perfect. No need to have a sequel whatsoever. So, Sandlot for me.
Sometimes it's okay just to leave things alone.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you don't need to remake a movie also. Does that count? Because those, well, there's some bad ones.
That could be another category someday. But yeah, there's a lot of bad ones there, too. Caddyshack 2, there's a total turd in the punch bowl as well, by the way. Okay, sports. I think right now that Jokic should have been MVP. And I know that this happens in the playoffs, right? Like, someone goes nuts and you're like, yeah, well, it's a regular season award. I know it's a regular season award, but like, it's not like he didn't dominate the regular season.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to separate it from the fact that Embiid came up so small in Game 7 and that Jokic is like, I mean, he went for what, 34-21 and 14 last night?
Yep. That is correct. And he's averaging in the postseason 31-13-10 or something.
Yeah. So again, that's the postseason. I understand the award is different, but I really do think that was a miss. So your MVP in any sport that did not win in a particular year that should have won.
Okay. You go ahead first.
Yeah, you got to go first.
Well, here on WHMR, Nashville, Tennessee, I'm going Derrick Henry 2020. I think that what he did that year is so difficult today to achieve. And that team, there were many great elements to it. We've gone through it, right? Tannehill played great. A.J. Brown, everything. Everything was working. Good OC. But still, you're talking about an offense that could score with anybody in the league because of a running back. And I'd love to know the next time we'll be able to say that. There's other great backs around the league.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it was such an extraordinary season that I think he certainly should have gotten way more consideration. And he was kind of – it's just become the quarterback award.
Yeah.
And to me, it shouldn't just be the quarterback award. There should also be defensive players a lot more often than there are too. So, there you go.
Okay.
I can go next. Go ahead. Mine is in college. Is that okay? Because it's just the first one that came to my head. It's actually the Heisman race this past year. I thought it should have been Bryce Young. Listen, I know he's on Alabama. I understand they lost a couple games and people want to put that against him. I think he was the best player in college football last year. And, I mean, he didn't even go. I think he should have won the Heisman 2 years in a row.
He was at least on my ballot, unlike most people. Which
yeah, I thought that
bad.
Was wild.
I could go a few different ways with this. I mean, look, I think LeBron has won 4 MVPs, I think, is the total he's won, which is just absurd that he's not got more than 4. I mean, it's kind of similar to the Jokic thing. I think a lot of voter fatigue takes place, and they're tired of voting for the same people. So it's just like, oh, LeBron, and this will probably be a discussion with Patrick Mahomes pretty soon. Like, he's won 2 MVPs now, and eventually it's going to be, well, that's what Patrick Mahomes does. We're just going to leave him alone at this thing.
Non-Mahomes award.
Non-Mahomes award. So, I mean, LeBron would probably be one of my first answers. But it's an MVP award of defensemen. Shea Weber got absolutely jobbed one time by Nicklas Lidström. And it was basically because Nicklas Lidström, everybody thought he was retiring. And that's why he won the Norris Trophy. Shea Weber was head and shoulders better than Nicklas Lidström that year. And it was not even all that close. So that one sticks out to me. Yeah. LeBron's my real answer.
It's just like your opinion, man. No, you're not wrong. Okay, non-sports. Okay, I'll go first with this too because you have to think about it for a minute.
Okay.
So most vegetables I love in any form. So, for example, some people hate cooked carrots. I like carrots out of the bag, and I like mini carrots, and I love cooked carrots, okay? Yeah. Most vegetables I love in any form. But some vegetables are very different in one form than another. So the vegetable that to you is amazing in a particular form but bad in another, if there is one.
Okay.
I have one.
If you just hate vegetables, okay, go for it.
Just because you said that, and I've been told that this is absurd that I act this way with a certain vegetable, which is carrots. I don't like, and I don't like the little mini ones, the circular mini ones.
Yeah.
I think they taste 10 times better when they're in the square sticks, like you get at a restaurant with chicken wings.
When they're cut like squares.
When they're cut like squares. Listen,
wow.
I don't know why.
There's a take.
People are going to say I'm crazy for saying this. They're both raw, whatever. I like them. I feel like when they're in the little like cylinder things, then they're like extra like watery. But just the sticks from the restaurant. And okay. Yeah, that's fine.
According to Michelle, shapes have flavors.
Yes.
I learned a new thing today on the show.
Yeah, I knew
you
this
got
was
one?
Coming.
I'm thinking. You go ahead.
All right. So for me, and this is because I just had it for the first time in the form I'm not used to.
Yeah.
So like, for example, so on this diet that some of us here at the station are doing that we'll be talking about soon.
Yes. Woo.
You know, I eat collard greens like every day and I love them. But I also love Southern food in general. One of my favorite things is fried okra. Yeah. I love fried okra. So I tried like regular canned okra. Holy Lord, is it terrible. I had no idea.
I can't say I've ever tried it.
I mean, I know some people be like, yeah, great, you can deep fry anything and it's better. But that's not true. Actually, most vegetables, I've been to like a place where they deep fry carrots and beans. So I'm like, no, I'll take the actual form of it, normal form. Regular okra, garbage. Fried okra, amazing.
You know what? I got a random answer for you. And I don't know that the taste is overly different. But just the way I feel eating it is different. For some reason, like if you've got corn that's not on the cob, I'm like, okay, whatever. But corn on the cob, I will mash all day long, baby. Especially off the grill.
It's much better.
It's much better.
Like I like it in all forms, but I agree. Corn on the cob is by far the elite. Okay, same sort of theme as earlier with the movie. The end of career stop. The sequel, the final sequel for an athlete that you wish never happened. End of career stop. Example would be, you know, Joe Namath with the Niners. Mm-hmm. Great. O.J. Simpson with the Niners. Those are two in the 70s. But does anything come to mind? I can go first.
Wait, can you repeat the question?
A lot of times athletes end up going somewhere for the end of their career.
Oh, yeah.
The one you wish never happened, just like a sequel to a movie
that
you wish never happened. I'll tell you mine. So go first ahead. Of all, I know these don't count. Dennis Rodman can't count, but I loved the Worm, and then he went to the Bulls and – turned his hair purple and won some rings for Jordan.
Flew out to Vegas.
And then Justin Verlander can't count either, I know. But I will go with, for me, Dino Cicerelli.
Okay.
He's my favorite non-Heisman Red Wing. I loved Dino Cicerelli. Huge part of their 90s teams. And he was gone after the 96 shocking loss to the garbage Avs. And then he actually went and had 35 goals. Well, that would be for Crispy with Tampa Bay Lightning. And he had, and then he basically faded. But like, he had a great year left in him, and we let him go. And I'm still bitter about it.
Mine's pretty easy. McNair to the Ravens, just with the Titans the whole time, would have been great to see him start and end his career with the Tennessee Titans. It's still every now and then I'll come across some old film of like him throwing touchdown passes on the Ravens. I'm like, man, does that look weird? So McNair, my answer.
That's good.
This is very hard, and I don't think I've ever not had an answer, but I'm really struggling right now.
Okay.
On who? But I think you know what I didn't like, which I don't really know if this counts, but when D Wade went up to Chicago and then back down to Miami, right? To
he
retire.
Went to Chicago, then Cleveland.
Oh, Cleveland,
and then back
yes.
To Miami. Yep.
Yeah, I guess he didn't technically end his career there, but I just hate it when he was in Cleveland. So that doesn't really answer your question, but it's okay.
Aaron Rodgers count?
I knew that there would be a ton of movies. So Gover's got Mission Impossible 2, Absolute Stain of the Franchise, American Psycho 2, Joe Dirt 2, Dumb and Dumber 2, Jaws 3. The Jaws, you can go through. The Fast and Furious, all of them. That's a good call. Yeah, a lot of Dumb and Dumber 2. That's Finding Dory, you know.
No, I like
I
that.
I heard Finding Dory was okay. I haven't seen it.
It's good.
Dennis says Ellie Tolvanen with the crack in the athlete that he would choose.
I said end of career, but yeah, well, I know it hurts.
Oh, man. It's good.
Ryan from Chicago, says LeBron in pretty much every 2010 year is a correct answer. I can't believe Ryan from Chicago didn't put a text up there that was some Homer Chicago crap. Good job, Ryan.
No, he's all for LeBron greater than sign Jordan.
Really? That surprises me.
Yeah.
He's all for LeBron is the GOAT, not Jordan?
Times 25.
Wow.
You should see him and Junie talk about this discussion. It's terrifying.
A surprising take. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll get back into the Titans, wrap up the show coming up next. More of your thoughts to get to as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Join 1025 The Game for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament presented by Gary Force Acura, benefiting Souls for Souls, coming up on June the 7th at Hermitage Golf Course. You can put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebs to support a great cause and have loads of fun. Plus, you'll have the chance to win awesome prizes. You can sign up to play, sponsor, or donate at thegamenashville.com/golf. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, helping home buyers and sellers in Middle Tennessee for 20 years.
We got a few things going on here. Noah Ryan from Chicago, I'm not wearing a toupee. I stand by this delicious,
let's start
gorgeous
the rumor.
Lettuce.
Let's yeah. start the rumor. Rex Rhodes wearing
But like
toupee.
David Spade at the end of Tommy Boy.
Well, look, there's no mistaking that beautiful head of hair you got over there.
So. I mean, this lettuce is real, baby. Kaharski, totally embellished, man. Kaharski, totally embellished. And I just called him out on Twitter. So he made it sound like little Bucky was like, oh, look at this, haters. What do you think now? And actually, he just put up on Twitter like a poll. And thank you to Caroline Fenton for initially sending this to me. It just said, you know, Levis haters, what was your reaction to rookie minicamp? Like, you still like him or you don't, whatever. Okay, so I said Kaharski, no, you made it sound, you embellished. And he says, this is Kaharski now. What did they see from rookie minicamp? I completely stand by what I said. Or wait, let me say it. I completely stand by what I said about him, okay? You embellish Kaharski and you know it.
Anytime we can get you to do a Kaharski voice, I'm all for it.
I got to remember to do that for him.
He was very excited about the Springsteen concert prior to the Chicago Bears preseason game.
I'm not going to lie. I'm going to have
you eyeballing it?
I mean, I'm not saying I'm going with him, okay? Because although that would probably be hilarious. Get some video of him like totally losing his mind. But I'm going to have to hit that, right?
Yes.
I think so.
I mean, I'm not like Springsteen is like this weird sports writer cult for Springsteen.
Yeah.
But, he's good.
He's all right.
Well, you know, let's not get into your classic rock, you know, proclivities here.
I'd rather watch him than the Beatles, that's for sure.
Yeah. Garbage that they are.
Speaking of garbage, let's talk about your Derrick Henry MVP take from 2020. The choice is yours. I mean, I'm just saying, Aaron Rodgers did win the award that year, and he completed 71% of his passes. 3 for 4,300 yards, 48 touchdowns, 5 picks, quarterback rating of 121.5.
Yeah, what do you do in the playoffs? What do you do in the playoffs, man? And I know. Again, it's a regular season award.
What did he do in the playoffs that year? Got to the NFC title game?
What was that? That was a loss to the Bucks, right?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Okay, fine. But I stand by Derrick Henry should have gotten more discussion because I don't remember who else they were talking about, but he wasn't like one of the three or four people
he was,
talked about.
No, it was – I mean, Rodgers, by the end of it, was pretty clear, but trying to remember who he was.
Well,
even.
It was Mahomes,
yeah.
And it was Brady.
Yeah.
It isn't just a quarterback award, okay? Can we all agree with that?
I would love to look at the odds right now. There's always odds of preseason, like MVP favorites. I would love to know how far down the list you got to go before you get to a non-quarterback.
And the thing is, and this goes to the – I've already talked about my most infuriating Heisman – year was the year that Ndamukong Suh absolutely was the best player in college football.
Yep.
And like, it's just like you can't vote for a defensive player. But Aaron Donald in recent years, Aaron Donald should have been in the five-man discussion at least, right?
Yes.
And I think a year or two maybe he kind of was, but it's an afterthought. I mean, it's way too little respect is paid really in all sports to defense, even though it is half of the games.
Or even like other aspects of the offense. Like you said, I mean, Derrick Henry, in all seriousness, I mean, he did run for 2,000 yards that year in this league, in this era, which is really difficult to do. I don't know that we're ever going to get out of, at least anytime soon, the quarterbacks winning the MVP award. Like, it just is what it is now.
Oh, yeah. It's what it is. It's the best quarterback award.
So, I mean.
But that's the thing. It's not just, and you know what? If he ran for 2,000 yards, like, so Jamal Lewis had one of those years,
yep.
Right? Okay, if you run for 2,000 yards because it's just like this grinding offense and like it's all your offense. Like, to me, the fact that he ran for that and fed an offense that was elite in the league also means more. It just means more.
It just means more. Mike on the text line says, when you guys mention lettuce in terms of hair, I hear lettuce pray. Thank you guys for taking rabbit food and turning it into content. Y'all are awesome. That's what we do on this program.
Rexford wears a toupee.
You can turn anything into content.
You want me to do this? Come on, look at this. Look how hard I'm pulling, okay?
John and Burns.
Have you ever seen Tommy Boy?
There's no way.
Joe, come on.
John and Burns on the text line says, Bob Seger and Bruce Springsteen are everything wrong with rock and roll. Robbie, your Beatles take is still trash. This is from John and Burns on the text line.
Okay, wait
a minute. Bob Seger hatred on the text line.
Okay, now wait a minute. Okay, so I agree with you that his Beatles take is trash. It is beyond cheeks. It's inside cheeks, okay? But you're telling me that Bob Seger and Bruce Springsteen are everything wrong with rock and roll? What are we doing here?
For the record,
they're both great.
For the record, I'm a big Bob Seger fan. I went to a Bob Seger concert one time here
in
Nashville.
I'm jealous, man.
I
was
by far the youngest person in the room. There's no question about it.
Yeah, I can see that. I'd love to see Seger. And I guess I'm going to see Springsteen. A little tailgating with PK.
Don't forget your toupee.
Let me fly on the wall there.
Yeah. That's fine. You can make fun of my toupee all you want.
Joe, game one tonight between the Heat
glue.
And
it's
the Celtics.
It's all about the glue.
Who you got tonight in game one between Miami and Boston?
I got the Celtics. I got the Celtics in five, and I hope I'm wrong. I am wrong a lot, as we know from weekend winners, so that's you can take heart in that. I'm not super optimistic about that being a series. I hope I'm wrong. I hope that you continue to be wrong about your Miami Heat because it's been an incredible run. I would love to see them get this done, but I'm not feeling great about it.
I'm not feeling great about it either. Boston, I don't love the matchup with Heat. It's going to require Jimmy Butler to go nuts, which he can do. We've seen it, but I think it's going to require a lot from Jimmy Butler.
Hero coming back?
There is a chance at some point he could be back. Yes. But what? I don't think that's necessarily happening tonight.
When did the Stanley Cup play? They start next week again? They start back up in June sometime?
They're back
Stanley
tomorrow.
Cup playoffs? Okay, good.
Tomorrow's game one, and then Friday game one between the Stars and the Knights. So
Gary Bettman is nothing.
Take a nice break.
He's nothing if not consistent about floundering around. You know, yes, like, hey, we just did the secret draw in the Chicago wins the lottery.
Chicago, there we go. That does it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Row. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Chase and Michelle up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.